Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight on a Wednesday night, on a warm, muggy, hot Wednesday night. I thought we got rid of this, but evidently I was incorrect. So it's good to have you. I got the air conditioning on. Is anybody hot? Good. Me too. I've got it down and trying to get it cooled off in here. So again, we are studying in Colossians chapter 2, and tonight we've made it to verse 15, and this is really closing down this particular part of this study, and we'll be here for just a few more weeks. And tonight, my goal is to lay the groundwork for this last verse. So I had some things that we're going to kind of talk about in a topical type of things. We have some words that we're going to look at. And by the way, next week we will not have service. That's my week to work nights. So please spend the time with your family. Please have a good, restful, peaceful night off. Amen. We all need one of those. And we'll see you back here on Sunday. That doesn't give you a pass to not come on Sunday. Amen? Thank you. Next Wednesday we will not have service. So the Wednesday after that we'll lay back into this. We'll get back into this and we'll pick this up in more detail. So let's go back here and let's just do a little bit of review of the reasons why our faith is in the cross. That's what this whole study has been about so far. So number one, verse 11, faith in Christ's cross causes a person to be born again. That's the basis of it. That's the root of this word. That's the root of our Christianity. That's the root of the doctrines of the Bible. Number two, 11b, verse 11b, faith in Christ's cross brings me to freedom from the dominion over the sin nature. That's the next thing that should happen. We should be living victorious. We should be defeating the sin nature. Number three, verse 12a, faith in Christ's cross causes one to be united with Christ, burying his past life forever. We're a new creation. Our past is buried. We're not that same person that we were before. Number four, causes the believer to be co-raised with him and to live in him. We are now in Christ. We are co-raised with him. Our sins and everything were buried with him, and now we're co-raised, we're a new creation in him. Verse 5, co-quickens and energizes the believer by the Spirit of God. This is where the power of God helps the believer. This is where the power of God energizes the believer. The power source switches from self, switches to the power of God now. So the power source actually switches. 6, provides me with forgiveness of sin. You're helping me back there, Dave. Thanks. Provides me with forgiveness of all sin, past, present, future. So everything that I did before, everything that I did today, everything that I'm going to do in the future, if I continue to take it back to him, he's going to do it. He's going to forgive me of it. And we ended up on 7. This is where we finished off our last verse. Verse 14, sets me free from the law as a means to righteousness. And we talked about the law was a means to show God's righteousness. The law was a means to set God's righteousness. The law was to mean to show man that he was unrighteous. So it sets me free from the law as a means of my righteousness. Now my means of righteousness is Jesus Christ. So our verse that we're going to be looking at tonight is Colossians 2 and 15. If you would, let's read this. It says in Colossians 2 and 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Again, the blue means that it's true. So he made, the writer believes it to be true, a show of them openly. And we're going to tear apart several of these words tonight and kind of understand that what they mean. So that way, as we go through in the coming weeks, we can kind of think back on these words and say, wow, that's what that means. Okay, that's what that actually means. So benefits 8 and 9, this is the two last benefits that we're going to cover here in this particular lesson that we're on. Benefits 8 and 9, faith in Christ and the cross provides me with freedom from the power of Satan and places me forever in a victory celebration of Christ's finished work. A victory celebration. Don't you like that? You know, you watch some of these sports things and you see the Super Bowl and at the end of it all, they have a celebration, right? All the confetti falls, or you watch a baseball game and they come out and all the fireworks go off, or you do whatever you do and they have a victory celebration. Well, we have a victory celebration in what Christ did for us on the cross. And number 9, I am triumphing over them in it. So I'm triumphing over all these things in what Christ did. So we're going to point out those two things tonight. So the scripture abounds with truth that the believer overcomes Satan by the power of the cross, by the power of the finished work, by the power of his death, his burial, and resurrection. And we have to have simple, childlike faith to believe this. Right? Sometimes we get into this and we start overthinking things. And in our minds, we get so very knowledgeable. And as I mentioned in the message on Sunday morning, sometimes we go out and we figure out that we're a smart person. We figure out that we can take things in. We figure out that our minds work. But just because our minds work and just because we might have a high IQ and just because we might have knowledge, it's not the wisdom and it's not the illumination of this Word of God. So he wants us to come with childlike faith, simply believing in him. And if you think back and if you remember your kids when they were young and you would tell them something, what would happen? They just believed you. You were mom. You were dad. They just believed you. And some of you older siblings would tell your younger brothers and sister things, right? And they would just believe, and you'd be messing with them, right? God's not messing with us. He wants us to come in him with childlike faith. He wants us to just simply believe in what he did. Don't try to tear it apart. Don't try to use our own human wisdom. Don't try to use our own intellect to come to it. Now, we talked about intellect at the first part of this. His death on Calvary guaranteed the believer that he would not have to face the power of darkness in his own strength, in our own human strength, in my own mortal coil. This is what the cross guaranteed for me. I would not have to face these powers in my own, not only even by myself, but not in my power. You see, in 1 John, oh, we got words to go over. Let's go over these words first before I get into 1 John. As we're going through this, I want to point out just a few of these words here. So the word spoiled, there's the Greek word for it. Don, you might be able to say that one, but I can't say that one. So the word spoiled, to take off or to strip off clothing. This was the idea that this was giving us here. So a figurative usage, but it may refer to the stripping away of weapons and hence the removal of the authority of power, referring to Colossians 2:11, putting off the body of sins, what we talked about when we first started this lesson. So he's going back up and referencing what he was talking about there, going off and putting off the body, or another figurative, getting rid of those weapons. Principalities, and the next two here, I want to point out, principalities and powers. And the two things I want to point out on this slide is, you see that LN number down there? That's the actual Greek word that it goes back to. Doesn't change. It's the same word. But we're using it a couple different ways here. So principalities, the principalities, a definite article, something. There is something definite that's coming against me. A supernatural power having some particular role in controlling the destiny and activities of human beings. Power, authority, lordship, ruler, wicked force. Same for the next slide. Now, if we go back and we look at theologians, we look at Greek scholars, there is some precedence here over principalities and powers. And we'll try to get into that when we move on, after when we have some time to kind of tear into those. They can go back and they can kind of recreate through the scripture and see that there was some type of authority here, that principalities ruled over powers and these things ruled over this and that ruled over man. And there's a whole hierarchy here that we could look at. We're not going to dig into that tonight, but just know that these are powers that reign over us, all right? To show or shew, to cause someone to suffer public disgrace or shame, to disgrace in public, to put to shame. So he's showing disgrace of something in public. Openly, an idiom, literally boldness. So he's doing it boldly. He's showing disgrace boldly in somebody, boldly in what he did. Evident or publicly known manner. And then triumphing, to lead prisoners of war in a victory procession, to demonstrate one's successful conquest of opposition. And this is really what we'll spend a little time at as far as why the Apostle Paul, or the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, chose to use this particular word, triumphing. And again, we'll get into that just a little bit tonight, but we'll get to 1 John 3:8 here. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, it's not up to us to face these powers, these principalities on our own. It's not us to us to face sin on our own. That was never the plan of God. Amen? That should be a victory shout. That was never the plan of God. Amen? It's not up to us. So this term, this word destroy, it means several different things. It means to cause to cease to exist, to cause to come to the end, to cause to becoming nothing, to put to an end, to break up or to dissolve. And so we see it's obvious that Christ came and he was manifested and to destroy the law, to destroy sin, to destroy the devil. That's why he was here for. We see this word happen again in Hebrews. We see it in Hebrews 2 and 14. For as much then as children of partakers of flesh and blood, he also in himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So we see that word again here, destroy. Again, LN 13:100, same exact word that we're looking up here, breaking up, dissolving something. So he came to get rid of this. He came to dissolve what exactly the devil had for us, and that was death. He came to also dissolve the law. We also see a word similar to this used in Romans 6:6. If we look at Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now this is a slightly different word used here. Again, a different LN number, same type of word, to cease to happen, to no longer take place, to cease, to render idle or useless. The word destroyed is the same Greek word that means that the sin nature has been rendered idle or dormant or been put to sleep as a result of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now, is there any questions tonight? Is there any comments on that tonight? Dave? Right.
Is there any more? Is there anything else you can say to me now? And it's just the totality of Christ's...
Right, again, both looking from the Old Testament up to Jesus, us looking back at Jesus. And again, making a show of them. Just what you said. What can you show me? This was the price that was paid. This was all that needed to be done. This was exactly what needed to happen. So, again, if we look at this, we see the word here, to render idle, to render useless. Some scholars would say to lie dormant. So the idea is, and again, this is just an idea. Let me think out loud for a little bit. That your sin nature lies dormant. When you come to Christ, when you get saved, that sin nature in you that we're all born with from Adam, right? We're all born with. Are you hot? Holy moly! We need that. We need to pray right now. That sin nature that's in us from Adam, that we all have, when we come to Christ, it's put dormant. It's put useless. Now, here's the key. If we keep our faith in Jesus Christ, if we walk by the Spirit and not after the flesh, that's the key. We've got many Christians walking around. I believe they're saved. I believe they're going to heaven. I believe they're going to heaven. But they're not walking after the Spirit. Their faith is not in a proper place. Therefore, we see struggle. And I'm not just talking. There's sin in this. Again, this is not the exact right time. I don't have enough time to get into this. We struggle with sin. The Holy Spirit deals with us each individually on different sin in our life. But when we see a professing Christian, someone who's supposed to be saved, living a sinful life, and not caring, not worrying about what the Bible says about it, not heeding to what the Word of God says, not being that new creation, we can go back and point and say, your faith is in the wrong place. Now, that's a bold statement. If you go up to a Christian who believes that they're saved, and they are, and believes they're doing the right thing, and you say, hey, your faith is not in the right place, I can just about 99.9% guarantee it's not going to go over well. So the idea is, if you're walking by faith, if your faith is in walking by the Spirit, and if your faith is in Jesus Christ, this sin nature lies dormant. And we can see that. We can actively see that. We don't go out and purposely sin, right? It's not something we wake up in the morning and say, well, you know what? Today I'm going to go out and steal a car. Today I'm going to go out and cheat on my wife. Today I'm going to go out and I'm going to rob a bank. Today I'm going to go out and talk badly about my coworker. Right? Sin is sin. Sin is sin. So our witness, our attitude, who we are, David, who we are, it comes out of us. So that's what I always go back to talking about, being miserable Christians. It's bad to be a miserable. It's a bad witness to be a miserable Christian, all right? Again, we're going to have bad days. We're going to go through things. But remember what he did for you. Remember who he is in your life. Any questions on that before we move on? Any comments? All right. So our position is overcoming by faith. As a believer, we are to overcome opposition, all opposition, by our faith. And this is what we have a hard time believing. Again, operating in this mortal coil, operating, and especially, maybe it's just me, I like to fix. If I see a problem, if you hand me your phone, I will fix it for you, right? If you call me and have a computer problem, I will jump, and I would, whatever you do, maybe you're the same way, I don't know. But our human flesh, we like to fix that problem that's within us, especially when it's identified. And sometimes when it's identified, it's easy. The Holy Spirit reaches down, he takes it out. Sometimes we have those sins that he's working on. And again, I'll just use smoking. I'm not saying smoking's any worse than any other one. We smoke. We smoke. We know it's a sin. We got saved and we're struggling with it. But yet the Holy Spirit's not dealing with that sin. And we keep going back. Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm smoking and I don't want to do this. I know that you told me not to do it. You've convicted me of it. Don't lose faith. Keep going back. The reason that you're fighting it, the reason that the Holy Spirit continues to bring it, but whatever the sin is, I'm just using smoking as a catch-all, is because you're saved. It's because the Holy Spirit's working on you. He is working in you, but he's doing a deeper work, and he's probably most likely 100% dealing with other things in your life. He's dealing with other things that need to be worked on more than that. So we have to overcome any opposition by faith. In the case of sin, we believe that Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. He set us free from both the penalty, wages of sin are death, and the power of sin, all right, how we live. So the penalty, death, and the power of sin on our life, and the destruction that occurs in sin over us. However, we must still face the presence of sin, both in the world and in ourselves. All right, we live in a fallen world. The vines of the fall are still hanging on this world. We see it every day. Just turn on daytime TV, for goodness sake. Turn on the news. Go out into your workplace. Walk around the neighborhood. You see it happening. And we have to face it. We have to come up against it in this world in general and in our own lives. You know, again, we go back and we read different Bible scholars, we read different theologians, and some of them even think the thought that, you know, people are predestined to be a certain way. There's a certain sin in your life, and it kind of makes sense when you think about it. And I really don't have a lot of scripture to back it up, but again, just go with me for a little bit. They think that you're predestined to be the way you are. All right, so if you're going to be a smoker, that's the thing that you're going to that's going to affect you, but it's not going to affect me one bit. All right, if you're going to be an alcoholic, that's the thing that's going to affect you, but I'm going to be a gambler. All right, there are stories of people that go into casinos who never gambled before in their life, walk in and gamble everything that they had away. They never gambled before. Yet I could go in and do whatever and walk out, and it's not a problem to me. But you know what? There's something else over here that's bothering me that's not going to bother them at all. There's something else that's bothering you that's not going to bother them. There's people that go out and all of a sudden overnight become an alcoholic. They weren't raised that way. It was never in their house. It was never something they went into. They went on a business trip, went out to eat, and somebody put a beer in their hand. From that point on, sin grabbed them. All right, so we see that happening. And again, I don't have necessarily biblical precedents for that, but if we read through theologians and different Bible scholars, they think that there is a precedence for different sin in our life. And I guess you can see that in the human race. I guess it does make some sense. All right. So while Satan was defeated at Calvary, he still walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. We are to resist him by faith. All right. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You see, that's the part we like to forget. We like to use the first part of the verse. Okay, he walks around as a, and some people, you know, as a lion. He's not a lion. I'm going to tell you what, sin has got teeth. Anybody ever had any sin? It's got teeth. Paula? Right, right. You never would have thought that way. Right, and that's why this message, entirety, Jesus Christ at the root of it all, at the root of every message, every doctrine that comes out of the Bible is so important. It's important that we come and we learn, and it is taught to us on a weekly basis, because we have to be remembered, we have to be reminded to walk after the Spirit, because it's difficult, especially when little things like that come up, you know, bitterness and unforgiveness, and maybe the person that did it didn't even know, you know. Right. So I encourage you, stay in this message. Continue after the Spirit. Walk by. Again, we overcome opposition, and any opposition. That's general opposition by our faith in Jesus Christ. Again, he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Steadfast in our faith, knowing that the same afflictions he accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, in your faith. Your faith is the key here. Through everything we talk about, everything that we do, in this Christian walk that we're on is by faith. And we have to realize that we cannot switch out. We cannot get into our own system. We cannot get into Brother Big Buck's system. Amen. We cannot get into, well, somebody gave me a good book system. And again, there's good preachers out there. I'm not downing all of them. I will down some of them. There's good Christian books out there. There's bad Christian books out there. Know what's in here. Let's come together and learn and point out what is good and bad. And again, you shouldn't be living your life. I'm getting off on a tangent. You shouldn't be living your life. You need to live your life from the Word of God. That's what I'm just going to leave it at that. What do we place our faith in to defeat the devil? What do we do to overcome the power of darkness that tries to steal and to kill and to destroy the fabric of Christ in us, the fabric of our Christian walk? What do we place our faith in? We place our faith not in works. We've talked about that before. Not in confession, not in fasting, not in keeping up any Christian discipline. All right, now, please, I'm going to preface this. Do not leave here and say, you know, Brother Chris said all Christian disciplines were bad. If God tells you to fast, you do what he tells you to do. All right? He might not tell me to fast. If God tells you to go into your prayer closet and pray, if he tells you to remove something from your life, you know, remove it. Do it. Because he's got a purpose and he's got a reason. And it's difficult for us to see that reason sometimes. It's difficult for us to understand what he's doing in our life. All right? But your faith cannot be in that thing. All right? So let's say he comes and says, I want you to stop watching the 6 o'clock news. What the heck? 6 o'clock news? What's that do? All right? Well, God, I haven't watched the 6 o'clock news for a month. Your faith is automatically switched from him to you not doing something. All right? Your faith has got to stay in him. Whatever that thing is, it can't be any. Okay, well, God told you to fast every Sunday before church, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's great if God told you to do that. God told you to come and pray 2 hours before Chris shows up at church. What? Okay, that's great. What? Your faith cannot be that. All right? If you don't show up before me and don't walk around the church and anoint it and pray, God's still going to show up. The Holy Spirit's still going to do what he needs to do in the hearts and lives of people, okay? Your faith has got to stay in Christ. Instead, we need to look to the event of what Christ did on the cross, where he defeated the powers of darkness, making a show of them openly. We are to understand that Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago, and by faith in his finished work, we can resist the powers of darkness. We can resist the power of sin. We can come against sin in our own life. We can come against those things in our own life. So we see God accepting the cross as my victory, and the Holy Spirit seeing my properly placed faith, if I can get it out tonight, and he goes to work on my behalf, equipping me to resist the devil, James 4:6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, there he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him by what Jesus did, not by how many times you took communion. Resist him by Christ's work on Calvary, his finished work, not by how many times you showed up at the church and cut the grass. Resist him by what Jesus did on the cross, not by how many times you did anything, not by what you did physically in your own life, in your own heart. All right, it's not by what we do, it's by what he did. My faith properly placed in Christ's cross and his finished, his all-encompassing, his accomplished work there introduces me to the benefit of triumphing over them in it. So now I can triumph because what he's done for me. The word triumphing, again, we're going to go into this later in our study, has a reference to a Roman triumph. And what a Roman triumph is when a general would go out and win a great battle, they would bring him back in, and they would have a great parade for him. And we could kind of think about it. I think they, again, before my time, I think they did it at the end of like World War I, World War II. We don't see it because, you know, we don't pay enough attention to our military today. You know, they go out there and they perform a great service, and I think we do better than we've done before, but we don't do like we used to do when this country was first young. The reference is, he comes in and they have a great parade for him, and they bring his family out, and they show how great that he defeated everyone, and they have the conquered general there, and they have the conquered people there, and they have everything a big parade, and they show how great he was. That's the idea that's laid here, that we are triumphing. All right, so we are the great general. We're the triumph, but not in us, not what we would do, what Christ did. We're triumphing in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the idea, and we'll tear that apart, and we'll get to that just a little bit more in the next coming weeks. Is there any questions tonight? We got about 10 minutes left. We got done a little bit early tonight. That's all I have tonight. Don? Right. Then that's one of the greatest things, I think, in my life personally, and I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you realize as a Christian that you don't have to do when he did it, because I know a lot of you, but I know I was raised to do. I was raised to perform. And when you get out of Romans 7 and you get into Romans 8 and you get that, Romans 8, 1 and 2, there's no condemnation. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's a real law of spirit of death, but there's a real law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it's awesome. And when I realize that I don't have to do and I don't have to perform and I don't have to give it the $1,000 level to get my blessing, that God loves me enough to give me his blessing anyway, because if it's only worth $1,000, it's not very good in God's eyes. Amen. When I don't have to have Brother Lightning Bolt or Brother Big Bucks come in and restart me, you know, if I'm in this Word every day, Holy Spirit's going to restart me. God's going to restart me. He's going to give to me the food, the manna, if you will, that I need to make this happen. And you know what? We see different fads go through the church. We see different things go. I'm just going to be open-hearted with you tonight. I don't want a fad. I don't want that. If our message is the same every Sunday and every Wednesday, and it's Christ and Him crucified, no matter what topic we're teaching on, whether it's how to get along with your wife, whether it's healing, whether it's how to live a victorious financial life, whether it's how to be a victorious Christian, it should point back to Jesus Christ. We should be, what Don, exactly what you said, Don, discipling people back to Christ. And it's just odd that you made those statements. I heard a minister this week make a statement, and I trust him. I believe what he preaches. He's a great man of God. And he said, if you're preaching and teaching Christ and Him crucified, your people will be running to your church. Your church will be experiencing great growth, and great things will be. I believe what we're preaching and teaching is correct. But as you said, Don, I don't see that anymore. People would rather go and run to the light show. They'd rather go and run to whatever's happening, whatever the latest and greatest thing is. But you know that latest and greatest thing, it runs out. After lightning bolt or big bucks leaves, it's just not there anymore. And people think that they need that to get them restarted again. So we automatically, as leaders of the church, I saw your hand, Dave. We get them in a mode where they think that person's got to come in and restart them. And again, I'm not saying that if we have a guest speaker and that's the process. You as a believer should be walking in victory. You as a believer should have the Word of God planted in your heart, and it should be rising out of you, and people should see that. Dave? All right. Paula?
Well, you know what I was saying earlier? That all happened before the message of the cross, too.
Right.
And that's the difference, too, because I was living in Romans 7.
Right.
Not living up to what I felt that God wanted me to live up to. I put that condemnation on myself. So, when you don't have the message of the cross and knowing that Jesus already did it all, it's all finished, all you got to do is give it to Him and relax, and live in Him. That makes the world different.
It makes it complete. Completely changes your outlook on life. Completely. So it's important. It's important that we come together, 10 of us, and study this. God's going to use this little body. I have no doubt about it. All right. So we're going to keep the course. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. We're going to continue living in victory and continue going back to it and continuing to understand why He did it for us. And Dave, back to what you're saying. The benefits are great, but if you don't understand, and I think maybe I'll try to help you out. If you don't understand why He did it for you, those benefits, you might be faking some of those benefits, right? And you can tell when somebody's faking, right? But once you understand what he did for you and the price that was paid, and that there's nothing left to do, like Paula said, He did it all for me, all of those benefits become, you're no longer working for those benefits. Those benefits He's just giving to you because He loves you. God wants the best for us. He wants the best for us. Amen. Amen. Anything else before we stop tonight? It's been a great class. I love the comments. I love the conversation. Just been wonderful to have you in the house of the God. Again, thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. I know it's difficult, but I really appreciate it. And I believe that this is very educational, and there's nothing better than digging deeper into the Word of God. Let's pray, and then I'll let you get out of here. Father God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for what He did for us, Lord Jesus. We thank You that our faith is in him, Lord. Help us to remember to keep our faith there, to continue to walk after the Spirit, to continue to go to you for everything that we need. Lord, help us to live in Romans 8. Help us to not live in condemnation, Lord Jesus. Help us to know that everything that needed to be done and everything that is going to be done was already done, and all it requires is faith in you. Lord, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit tonight. How sweet and precious and wonderful it is, Lord. And it just helps us know, Lord Jesus, that your word is true and what you did at Calvary is true, and it is the message for all times, Lord God. I ask that you would bless the people. I ask that you would bring them back, Lord God, and I thank you for everything that you've done. In your name we pray, amen and amen, and you are dismissed.